music that we all know. Give me two hits like a music lover. Any less and your shows are over, Mr. Seven. I'm on the phone. Don't have a pizza to call my own. Please turn on your radio set. Mr. Seven, make it great.
No way! That's the truth! I somehow broke an ancient curse?
That's just about the size of it.
I'll be damned. Reincarnation?
Yeah, what do you think about it?
Well, how do you mean?
Well, do you believe in reincarnation?
Not in this lifetime, mate.
What?
I was drunk.
What? Yeah, but how can you steal someone's colostomy bag?
I don't know.
You're taking the piss.
You've run out, Chris?
Sorry.
You're telling me you don't have enough rope?
Yeah.
That's just out of line. Really?
That's right. You think, therefore you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be. Since Kirsty.
That's right.
You're asking me what I think about curtains.
Yep.
I won't be drawn on the subject. Mutes.
That's right.
Mutes.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about mutes.
And welcome to the wonderful world of sound.
To Seddonism on URE with me, Mark Seddon. Today we'll be talking to Tony Hart without mentioning art once.
And we'll be asking, what if the lady loved milk tray, but can only have a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a healthy meal for dinner?
It's my producer, Chris Patterson.
Chris is a massive fan. Wait up.
What?
Every day you say some stupid fact about your producer.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
But every day it's utter nonsense. I've had enough of it. I'm not a cobbler with magic elves. I don't have fetish for human hair. I'm rubbish at golf. I didn't invent blue tack.
But I was just...
listen, Mark. I didn't popularise the hole punch as a piece of office equipment. I didn't have a phobia of snow. I wasn't found in a phone box as a baby. And I'm not the Witchfinder General.
Chris is a huge
Mark,
fan.
You're lining yourself up for a fool. I'd tread very carefully if I were you.
Chris is a huge...
Very carefully.
A huge fan of Natalie Imbruglia's music, and actually went to see her live last year.
Oh, well, yeah, that is right.
See?
Okay, sorry.
In fact, he enjoys her music so much that he regularly puts on his Natalie Imbruglia CD, blocks the door with hole punches, smears himself in blue tack and human hair, and dreams of golf as he warms himself on the body of a burning witch.
Right! That's it!
Oi!
Hey!
Ow! Leave me alone! Stop hitting me!
Stop it!
I know you hate it, I hate it, everyone hates it. But listen, this is what the kids want to hear.
I like Mark so, it like lightens me.
Okay, we're young, rich, and full of sugar. What do we do?
Well, you can listen to this for a start. Hello, I'm Mark Seddon.
Hi, I'm Alec Cooley.
And?
I'm Kirsty O'Driscoll.
This is Seddonism. Woo! All fingers and thumbs today. Where
we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up, but you can phone in, get involved. Lovely Kirsty, say hello, Kirsty.
Hello, phone up, talk to me, and I'll sort your life out, baby.
That's because Kirsty's got her own little section called Kirsty's Hate Cafe, because she does tend to grumble a bit, you know, so it's suited to her. So phone in with that. So if you've got something you want to grumble about, phone in for the Hate Cafe, 263-568. Also, we have a little love cafe, so phone in with your love dedications and things. But most importantly, we'll have When Life Goes Bad coming up. So phone in with all of your stories when life goes bad. And today's featured story is when waking up goes bad. So if you've got problems with waking up, I know a couple of us do. Hello Kirsty?
I think I'm actually sort of semi-awake by now, Mark, but it's taken a good 2 hours from the wake-up call you gave me this morning.
Do you have an alarm clock, Kirsty?
I have one, but I don't know how to work it.
Because alarm clocks are, notoriously technical things, aren't they?
This one is very high-tech, extremely high-tech.
It's got a button you have to push to turn it on and
it's got a hell of a lot of buttons on the back of it, Mark. It's too much, I just can't handle it.
You sure haven't confused it with, like, your microwave or your computer or something?
Well, actually, now you mention it, I don't think I have,
Okay, fair enough. Right, when life goes bad, today we're going to be taking your phone calls on when waking up goes bad. We want to hear your worst waking up scenario things. I'll tell you mine, actually. It was when I was, just passed recently as a URE DJ on Ickle Old Medium Wave. And I'd been to Coxsock, the famous drinking club of the university, and I got thoroughly trashed. And the next morning I had a morning show, and I was supposed to wake up at 6 o'clock to come down and do that. And, ooh, did it happen? No, it didn't. But I came here about an hour late, and was still drunk when I presented the show. So that's a nice sort of message for all you kids out there. But...
Because my big problem with getting up in the morning is I tend to, on occasion, get out the wrong side of bed, which is rather painful because my bed is right next to a wall. So to jump out of bed and smack into the wall, that's life for me.
Kirsty, your worst story?
Waking up when you don't know who it is lying next to you is usually a bit of a problem.
I know that feeling.
That happens to you a lot, does it?
So do you actually tread on them, Alex, when you get out of bed on the wrong side?
No, I don't tend to tread on them.
Now, it's time for Mark's birthdays. Baby Spice, real name Emily Bompton, ex-frontman of the Spice Girls, is 9 today. Baby Spice likes pink. Tutankhamun, the Prime Minister of Egypt's mother, is 35 today. She's an expert at first aid and actually invented the first ever ambulance. Electricity is 50 years old today. It was discovered accidentally by Hollywood actor Boris Karloff, who was out on a mining expedition. And finally, on this day in history, Mozart played his first ever concert. He played in Manchester's Cavern Club and was in a double bill with the Rolling Stones.
I hate everybody!
Right, welcome to Kirsty's Hate Cafe. This is my opportunity every day to slate someone in this university who I really quite dislike. Now, you must take into account I cannot target individuals in this slot, nor can I swear. So if I sound somewhat stilted, that's because of the FM rules. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to phone in one of the days this week, you know, and have your turn to get your revenge on someone who's made you feel about as small as an ant's backside, phone in this week, but I'll just give you a little kickstart. Right, you, can't target you. I absolutely hate you. It was I who poured a pint of Snakey Bee down your cream hooded top at the Lebby on Saturday night, and I tell you, that is only the start of my revenge on you. If you think you can go around saying things to people that you've been saying about me, daring things you've been doing, but you can think again, young man, because I know where you live, I have your address, I know your phone number, and if you think that you can get away with it, young man, you're absolutely wrong. I've got spies against you, all my friends are against you, I know about you, and the next thing that's going to be ruined is your black body warmer, because you're going to have a fag burn put on the back of it. If I see you when I'm out, I don't appreciate your friends coming up to me saying I'm the one who fancies you, because that's complete and utter, can't swear, but I'd love to. Anyway, I think I've completely ridiculed myself quite enough. Stuart's sort of laughing at me through a pane of glass over there. So, ladies and gentlemen, phone in, kick back, and slate.
Derwent River Star by the Paradise Motel. A lovely little track there, I think. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Did you know what that song was about, Mark?
Well, essentially, I'll mention it. It's about the Derwent River Star, a ferry that crosses the Derwent River between Hobart and Bellarive in Tasmania. And it replaced the Derwent Bridge that met its end in 1976.
Sorry, for some reason, I didn't quite hear what you said the Derwent River Star was. Not Star Wars, I said.
Oh.
Did you say what the Derwent River Star was?
Oh, right, yes, it's a ferry.
Ferry, eh? Call me naive, but I don't think I've ever told what a ferry was. Can you help me?
Well, seeing as how you mention it...
Ferries are boats that provide transport over short distances, such as over the English Channel between Dover and Calais. Ferry boats are generally diesel-powered and usually have one or more decks for vehicles as well as upper decks for passengers.
This is University Radio Exeter on 100.6 FM.
You know,
it's Exeter Zoo Watch. Birds of prey. Wing will Exeter Zoo feather learn their lesson. Beak, cos no, nuff, wing seems to go right for them. What will be the next turn of events for the zoo? With me now is the talented bird keeper, Billy Sarstad.
Hi, Mark.
Billy, what's happened?
Well, Mark, today I went into the bird of prey enclosure and I couldn't add them and believe it, but all of them gone.
Sorry?
All of the birds of the eagle, the condor, the hawk, all of them just disappeared.
You just suspect that they've been stolen?
Well, I can't be sure. The fences and locks didn't appear to have been tampered with, and it's a complete mystery how they vanished.
Fences, you say, not cages?
Well, no, I didn't see the need before now. You see, we rarely encounter such devious thieves.
isn't it just possible that the birds flew off?
Flew, you say? Barry, what's this all about birds flying?
So, Mr. Sarstad, what do you have... Mrs. rather, sorry, you've got a rather deep voice. What do you have to say for yourself?
There seems to be a problem with the line.
Can you hear me?
No.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Billy Sarstad.
Cheers.
Can't be too sure about things. Anyway, suffice it to say, today's show will be packed. Almost...
To the brim.
No, almost too packed. Okay. The other thing we're going to be doing today is that I don't want you to call me by my normal name, Mark Seddon. I want you to call me by my new DJ name, which is Mixmaster Mark. And I won't answer to anything else, okay?
Mixmaster Mark.
I am Mixmaster Mark, and you are my posse.
No, I'm sorry, Mark. I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm sick of
why
sitting over there trying to make everyone, bossing us all around. Listen, Mark, you know what your name is. I'm not answering.
No, but there's a good reason for calling me Mixmaster Mark.
No, there is not.
There is. I've produced my own record.
Which is?
It's called Happy Days with a Z on the end.
Oh, right.
And it's by
Mixmaster Mark? Possibly, or not?
It's remixed by Major DJ... Who lived next door to me called let me think. Chris
Krypton Chris.
Chris S. That's it. And this is the name of this is my brand new track. It's called Happy Days with a Z. And that's my new track. It's called Happy Days with a Z, and it's by me, Mix Master Mark, and my big up producer, Chris S.
Okay.
And,
never mind.
And you're my new posse, and so you've got all our names.
I refuse to be a member of
Baroque Boy.
No, I refuse to be a member of the posse.
She's Rugrat K.
Oi!
What do you mean, oi?
Oi, Angelica.
But that's not hardcore, man.
Hardcore chick, man.
Yeah, all that.
Oi, Mark!
What?
Patsy, you answered.
Oh, yeah, you're right, though. It's a stupid idea. I don't know why I even thought of it in the first place.
Hi, my name is Stereo Mike.
It's a pointless waste of time.
Mark!
Not always. But yours is Mark, definitely.
Well, I want something cool.
Call him the man in the hat.
The man in the hat.
The man in the hat.
I don't normally wear a hat, though.
I know, that's why I noticed today. I thought, oh my God, Mark's wearing a hat. Doesn't he look fantastic?
that is exactly
fantastic.
What you thought.
The man, what about the man behind the eggs? This, of course, is a reference to the shape of Mark's glasses.
They're not that eggy. They are egg-shaped. I think they're nice.
Glasses are the way forward.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with glasses. Because without them, you can't see. You'd just be knocking into something. I don't wear glasses, but I think I have to. You think you have to? Because I keep trying. Is that some sort of social thing? No, it's like those socially pushed to. No, those, like, you know when you go out and you drink quite lots, like the beer goggles you have on, so I sort of think if I'm wearing glasses, then I won't sort of have that problem.
But unfortunately, that's not quite true.
Really? So, I mean, even if you're wearing glasses,
It does help a bit, actually, because if you're not wearing glasses at the beginning of the night and you're having a bit to drink, you feel a bit weird.
A bit ooh.
But then you put your glasses on, and it's almost like sobering up a little bit.
But of course,
you can see more.
This is why I'm doing my research, you see.
Into what?
My research into the opposite of beer goggles. Because some people have come across the idea of actually selling beer goggles to make everything look silly. I intend to design something that can do the reverse. In other words, when you're drunk, it makes the world look normal, surprisingly.
Isn't it called coffee or something?
No. All right, yeah. I mean, a pair of glasses that you put on that does it for you.
If you can come up with them, more power to you, Alex. I'm not entirely... What are you studying?
Computer science.
Okay, that'll work then. Okay, we've just got enough time for an update on our audience poll. Perrier or pair of trousers, Alec?
Well, it looks like the fizzy water's lagging behind a bit. It's only got 15% of the vote, whereas trousers have got a nice big round 80%.
Oh, big up the trousers. But Alec, I can't help notice but that percentage you just did there adds up to 95%, 5% less than the traditional 100. Can you explain that at all?
Yeah, the phone's been clogged with people phoning up asking for some pizzas.
Oh, fair enough. Anyway, keep your phone calls coming in. 263-568, love dedications for the Love Cafe. Hate dedications, even, I mean, why not? And all of that. And also, we'll be having a little competition to give away that pizza later on.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on?
I didn't realise then, but the people phoning in somehow, subconsciously, must have convinced me that my future didn't lie in radio, but in promoting pizza. And so, all these years later, with a worldwide chain of Mark Sedanistic pizzas, it was a silly audience poll that changed the path of my life. And at that moment, I felt close to my father. In fact, almost... too close. And now time for the Love Cafe. I'm Mark Seddon. I've got a letter in and it reads as follows. Dear Mark, I know you don't often have requests on your show, but I wonder if you might make an exception in my case.
My name's Herbert Simon, but so that I don't prejudice an upcoming court case, I'd prefer to remain anonymous. This is my story. I've been staying in Burke's for almost 15 weeks before I noticed her, but she was the most beautiful girl that I'd ever seen. Her skin shined and her nose glowed, but I was afraid to make myself known to her. You see, I've had difficulty forging close relations ever since a crab attached itself to my face during a holiday in the Mediterranean. By looking discreetly at the name tag in her gym shorts, I found out that her name was Jane. I followed her, stealing unreciprocated glances whenever I could. I discovered that she loved mushrooms, and inspired, I formulated a plan. In the early hours of the morning, I stood outside her window with a bag of mushrooms and a tube of glue. I stickened the mushrooms, and one by one, I carefully flitted them up to the pane of window of her third floor room. Eventually, my task was complete. The mushrooms formed a heart shape around the words, "I am Herbert, and I love you." I waited there till morning, and I saw her opening her curtains to graze upon my creation. I held out my arms to her, and she saw me. Her eyes welled. She rushed down to meet me until she neared me, when she slowed as we moved closer, closer. I shut my eyes, but never felt her lips, because at that moment, she punched me square in the face and unleashed a torrent of abuse. On reflection, my plan to win her love does seem a little outlandish. On the positive side, though, her blow to my head did dislodge the crab. I wonder if you might help me recapture happier days by playing Everybody Hurts, the cover version by the Smurfs. No, we won't play that, sorry. Hey, it's Kirsty's Hate Cafe. Well, it would be. If I play the right thing, there it goes.
I hate everybody!
Yay, it's that time of day again, ladies and gentlemen, when you get to slate the opposite sex. Now, myself, I used to be full of hatred for blokes, but in recent weeks, I have absolutely no hatred left in me, and I'm actually feeling quite happy. So I thought, for the enjoyment of everybody else on campus, I'd go out and do a little bit of research. But here's a fine selection of the things that the next great minds of Great Britain hate about that opposite sex.
What annoys me most about the opposite sex is their incessant nagging. They're not particularly enjoyable to be around when they're drunk. That really gets my goat. And they've got to understand that a man likes a night out with the boys and not an evening in.
Thank you very much.
We love them, though.
There's nothing about them that we don't like.
Not really, no. I think they're great. Exactly, yeah.
Aren't they lovely? Can I talk about my housemates?
Yeah.
They're blokes. The fact that they stare at the TV all the time and sort of like go, oh, look at those on that.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it's always like Cameron Diaz and Loaded and everything. We've got pictures of Loaded girls all up in our things. Not allowed to draw on them either.
I really, really hate it when they call you mom, you know? Like, they expect you to, like, clean their socks and their underwear. I mean, that just really gets me going, you know?
What do I hate most about the opposite sex? Their complete neurotic behaviour when it comes to cleaning.
Smelly socks.
Okay.
The fact that they always complain about whether they're fat in a certain dress.
I love everybody. Yeah, right.
Women and machinery just don't go together. Why are the opposite sex never satisfied with themselves? Cakes.
Right, and that was put together with the help of my dear friend Duncan, who was the one who said about he hates it when women think they look fat in certain dresses. Now, I've got another pet hate that I suddenly realised that I have about men, and it's when they pick you up and throw you over their shoulders, which people seem to do to me quite a lot, because I'm on the short-ish side. And they think it's great laugh, just chuck you over their shoulder and throw you all around the shop, Stuart. And if you do it again, I'll bite your neck, boy. And that's it for today, but phone in for tomorrow with your future dedications of hatred towards the opposite sex. Bye-bye.
Kirsty, can I just ask you one question at the end of it?
What?
When people ask you, do I look fat in this dress, or whatever, what's the correct response?
The correct response, right, Mark. Girl says to you, do I look fat in this dress, yeah? You don't even look, right? You don't even look. You just go, of course you don't. Of course you don't. You don't even look up and down. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Right. Don't even look.
Don't even look. That's just go, no, of course you don't, darling. You look lovely. Fabulous.
Great.
But what if they are rotund anyway?
You don't.
What are you doing going out in the first place? You've been listening to my show at all, Chris.
I have indeed, Mark.
Have you heard that every day we've been playing clips from from Digital TV's latest cooking challenge game show?
I've caught snippets of it, but I haven't heard it in full yet.
Right, yeah, because I'll play you another episode today. It's quite an unconventional show. It's almost entirely different to all others. It's called Won't Cook, Won't Cook. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, please.
Oh, here it is.
Welcome to Won't Cook, Won't Cook, the cooking challenge game where a lazy contestant gets help from an apathetic chef to prepare a fantastic gourmet meal, or not. And now your host, Firm Buttocks.
They say every cloud has a silver lining, and our silver lining is our celebrity chef, Paisley Chevrolet.
What about the cloud?
Sorry?
The cloud from which the silver lining comes. What is it?
Our contestant, Enamel Bar.
Hey!
So, Enamel, what ingredients have you bought for Paisley to tinker with?
Are you calling me the cloud of this show?
Well, maybe a bit.
You can't call me that.
Why the hell not?
Now you've just been downright rude.
Well, naff off then if you don't like it.
Look, you.
Are you going or not? Off with you.
Right. I'm out of here.
God, he was so rude. Let's see what we brought along anyway. A 3x4 patch of turf, a Mr. Potato Head, a coal bucket and a sack of carrots. Paisley, what culinary rabbit will you pull out the magic hat of your cooking skills?
If it's all the same, I think I'll just burn the lot.
Yeah, sounds good. If you want to join us for more, then join us next time on Won't Cook, Won't Cook, when we'll have more.
Okay, that's better. I've got someone online. Hello,
hello.
Paula. What's your name, Paula? Sorry?
Rose.
Hello, Rose. Now, did you correctly get what that thing I was playing just now?
Yes, it was Quantum Leap.
It so was.
Yay!
Creating that racket.
Is she in Halls? Are you in Halls? Are you in a house?
No, I'm in Longbrook Street.
You're in Longbrook Street. Longbrook Street is Lisa. Hooray! Do you know Lisa?
I'm with her.
Does she fancy Mark?
Cute.
Do you fancy Mark? Does she know him?
I like this radio show.
It warms the cockles of my heart.
This is a cockle-warming situation. Warning, cockles are being warmed.
I hate to say it, Mark, but we actually have a quiz going on here at some point, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we got a quiz. Questions and things.
No, can't you put Lisa on the phone?
No, she doesn't
want to
talk. She doesn't want to talk.
She doesn't want to talk.
Now, I will allow assistance from your friends if you don't know the answers to these questions.
Yeah, I bet you will, Mark. Okay, there's about five of them now.
What's that supposed to imply? Really? I don't like the tone of your voice, young lady. Okay, Ro, so...
Three questions. You've got to get two out of the three to win that pizza from Snappy Tomato.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Producers, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm clinging onto the edge of my seat, Mark.
Let's go. Okay. Name the four main kids from South Park.
Kenny. Cartman. Dan.
One more.
No, I don't know.
Right, okay, we might come back to that one later if you remember it. Okay, we can't accept that answer as it stands. Okay, who lived on 52 Festy Road, wore a suit and bowler hat, and every day would visit a costume shop? Yes, that is right.
Hey!
It's Ben.
Go, girl!
And the third and final question. Name an animal from the parade at the end of the Harry Hill TV show.
Animal from the parade at the Harry Hill. A badger.
Badger is right.
Yeah!
She's got to do South Park.
That piece is yours. You've got two out of the three. The other answer for Harry Hill would have been an owl. And also, the final kid, which you didn't get, was Kyle.
Rosemary?
Yeah?
Do you remember Bagpuss?
Oh, Bagpuss is so
cool. Fix it.
Cassie, you're mental.
No, I try, woman.
Do you know someone that I just remembered, just waking up this morning, that I haven't seen for ages?
Ludwig.
King Rollo.
You're making it up, Mark.
Okay, Rose, stay on the line and we'll get all of your details. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
How do you spell air?
Air?
Yeah.
With an A?
No, go on. Do it properly.
A-I-R.
How do you spell hair?
H-A-I-R.
How do you spell lair?
L-A-I-R.
Put the three words together.
Air-hair-lair.
Okay, anyway, unfortunately, Alec, we've lost Alec. We can't hear him. We think he may, possibly be dead. We're not sure. We wouldn't like to say anything. Listen, Sunday for
Canto Sex Day,
which is the music of the gods, the classical music show presented by Alec Hawley.
La 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 la.
That's classical music. Well done. That sounds exactly like classical music does.
Definitely worth listening to.
Yes. No, what do you mean?
On University Radio Exeter for RAG 99.
Classical music with the gods.
Classical music isn't boring, it's exciting. Listen to this.
God, I can't contain myself!
Get down, baby.
Yee, rock on. Someone's going to sample this soon. Busta Rhymes, got to do it.
Someone say I fell down and broke my head.
Rolling with my homies, baby. Rolling with my homies.
I broke my head. What are you going to do about it?
What you chatting about, man?
Come on.
Come on, baby.
Yeah. Behave,
baby.
Mm. Yeah, baby.
Mark. Chris, tell me and be honest. Do we have just about enough time for an audience poll?
I think we do.
Audience poll on RSVP or WCASAP. Chris.
Well, Mark, currently the prompt reply of letters is lagging behind a quick toilet stop with just 10% of the vote, as the restroom storms ahead with 85%.
Chris, I can't help but notice that percentage actually adds up to 95%, 5% less than the traditional 100%. Can you explain that?
Interference from satellites?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. OK, well, keep your phone calls coming in, 263-568, with your dedications for the Love and Hate Cafes, which are coming up soon.
Rawr, rawr.
Rawr.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on?
It was at that moment that I realized I'd sent Alec deep underground Exeter with old batteries in his torch, which could cut out at any time. My
my fear and my guilt at what might have happened to him made me feel closer to my father than I'd have ever felt before, for some reason.
No.
I'm sorry. Right, Hey Cafe. Sounds like a good idea. The Hey Cafe!
No, I'm sorry.
What?
I can't do it.
What are you talking? This
Mark,
is your bit.
No, Mark, I can't do it anymore. Listen, I'm really sorry.
What?
I know I should have told you. I can't, Mark. I don't hate anyone anymore.
But
I can't do it.
Hey, Cafe.
No, Mark, no.
What?
I can't do it, Mark.
It's your bit. Hey,
Mark,
Cafe.
No.
I
listen
hate
to you, Mark.
Everything.
Mark,
I'm
no.
thirsty. I
no,
hate...
Mark, I'm a changed what? Woman now. I'm calm.
You're calm?
She does actually appear quite calm today. Not so hateful as previous days, unfortunately.
I feel somewhat relaxed.
Okay.
And chilled. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because I've started deep breathing techniques.
Deep breathing techniques?
Would you like me to show you how?
Show us, Kirsty.
Okay, follow me, boys.
Okay.
One. Two. Three. Every time you're feeling full of hatred, you breathe like that. Secondly, I have started to bring an incense stick around with me.
Burning incense? What a relaxing idea.
The aphrodisiac property of jasmine, I find, means you have a trail of young men following you, which obviously eliminates any hatred that you may feel, particularly since you're also doing your breathing at the same time.
Right.
Thirdly, I've started to read therapeutic books and take up yoga.
Books, right.
I am currently lying on my head in the studio.
Right.
I noticed that.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
It causes all the blood to rush from the angry parts of your body, like your toes and your hands, into your head.
Because when you fight, those are bits of lash out, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. You can't really do too much with it. Okay.
Shout, abuse, and headbutt, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's no need for that, because we're all
calm. I love everyone, me.
Very giving. So,
oh, God, I'm doing my back here.
Okay,
I've got to get up. Sorry, I can't
I've got my own breathing technique here, okay? I hope you and the audience at home joins me in this, okay? Okay? Breathe in. And breathe in. And breathe in. And breathe in.
You are currently walking
and
down a country lane.
And breathe in.
Listen to the water
and
of
breathe
the
in.
Passing streams.
And breathe
flashing.
In. And breathe in. And breathe in. And fall over. And pass out.
And you can't hate anyone when you're like that.
Now, it's time for something we'll be doing every day, which is Exeter Zoo Watch. Well, I've got a mushy story here that I'm sure you'll wolf up. Someone with a husky voice has made up a pack of lies, which has whipped up a stir. I'm sure this story will slay you. With me now is Bjorn Yesterday, Exeter Zoo's Finnish vulpine expert.
Hiya, Mark. Now, Mark, you're aware that huskies and wolves aren't really the same, aren't you?
Yeah, I knew that. Oh, yeah, so Bjorn, what's happened?
Well, Mark, it all stems down to the wolves at the zoo getting a little restless. You know, after being taken out of their natural environment, so we wanted to rectify that.
You wanted to rectify it? How'd you do that? Did you try and make their wolf enclosure more like their natural habitat,
well,
I suppose?
Not exactly. We wanted them to be less bored, so we put in a TV.
A TV?
It always does the job for me.
But they're wolves. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with them.
Oh, no, Mark. That's where you're wrong. They took to it like a duck to, orange. In fact, they wolfed it up.
Well,
What happened then?
Well, that's where the problem began.
What do you mean?
Well, they were staying in one Saturday night watching Gladiators when they saw the gladiator, Wolf, and they weren't impressed, to say the least. Which brings us to the current situation.
Which is?
Our wolves from the zoo are currently in a litigation procedure. They're suing Wolf from the Gladiators for defamation of species.
What? What's that?
They're alleging that the program is misleading people into believing that wolves are middle-aged balding men that dislike referees and go grrr quite a lot.
Well, what do you hope to happen?
Well, obviously we're looking for a win, but at the very least an admission from the aforementioned TV personality that he is, in fact, human. And if all goes well, the cobras and rhinos are waiting in the wings with their lawsuits.
I see. Right, well, thank you for your time. Yawn yesterday.
Cheers. Grrr.
That's enough.
This is a vicious expose of a part of the young generation, that sick generation who must ravage and plunder for their kicks. Scenes of such brutal honesty that we strongly recommend that impressionable young people, or those people of any age, who are upset or affected by arm twisting, now close their eyes. Thank you.
I'm Mark Seddon.
I'm Chris Patterson.
I'm Kirsty O'Driscoll.
And this is Seddonism. Together we combine like some giant robot from Transformers to...
What?
I don't know. I was trying to stretch a metaphor. Badly. Chris, what have we got coming up today?
We've got tons of stuff, Mark. We've got the Zoo Watch, we've got the Beatles bit, we've got the charity case, we've got things and bits and bobs, we've got... the TV trivia triathlon? I don't even know, because there's so many things.
Shall I tell you about TV trivia triathlon?
Go on, then.
Well, at some point in this first bit of the hour today, I'll be playing a track from a TV theme tune. I'll signal it.
Right.
Quite clearly. This is the TV theme, I'll say.
Not just with a hand motion, because listening won't see that bit.
Not all of it, no. And once that's phone in, tell me what that song will be on 263 568. And then you've qualified if you get the answer right, you see. And then if you go on to get 2 out of 3 questions right about TV trivia, which is why it's called TV trivia triathlon.
Ooh.
Then you'll get a pizza from Snappy Tomato Pizza, which can't be bad.
No.
Unless you're allergic.
Okay, Mark, can we do a little practice run now?
A practice run?
So I'll sort of like sing a song from a children's TV programme, and you have to tell me what it was called.
Okay, alright.
Okay. Na 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 na, no matter what you say. Na 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 na, they're never far away.
Oh. Na 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 na, is that Dog Tanya?
Yay!
It was
one for all animal for one.
Musker hounds are always ready. One for all animal for one.
Helping everybody.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's your turn.
No.
Go on.
I can't think of anything. The pressure.
Pressure.
Go on, Chris, come.
No.
What about this one? I won't say the word.
Okay.
You're off to... You'll follow
Mr. Spoon. Button Moon, come back soon, please do.
And they had a little house that was box. It said box on the side of it, do you remember?
Yeah.
It said quite obviously
it did just
box.
Box. Because it was a box.
Yeah. What was that programme all about? How'd you go up to a TV executive? I've got this great idea, it's about a man, he's a spoon.
Mr. Spoon.
He lives
and every day
a box.
He gets a washing up liquid bottle, flies to the moon, except the moon is a button. It'll be great.
It was great, Mark. It was quality TV, they don't make them like that now.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
My Little Pony.
Yeah, what about it?
What do you mean, what about it? I just say My Little Pony.
Right,
yeah.
Seddonism.
Let's go.
That's what
it.
This is.
Right.
I better play a song.
Go on, then.
There's something really curious about this broadcast.
Right, anyway, so,
Sedonism. That's what you're listening to.
You are indeed. The time being 24 minutes past 10.
Oh, yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like 25 minutes past 9. But what did you say?
What, 24?
Isn't it? It's 25.
You're misreading that clock completely. 24, 25, we're quibbling over a number. Let's not do that.
Three is the magic number.
Three is the magic
number. That was the first record that he ever bought, did you know that?
Very
first
true.
Record Chris bought.
For 99p in W.H. Smith's.
Really?
Reduced price. I still own the self-same single.
The self-same one?
Yeah.
Not a different same one.
What was the first record you bought, Mark?
I don't know.
It was sad, wasn't it?
It was very sad. Go
tell
on.
Us. Come on,
tell
Mark.
Us
I don't know. I've only started recently buying records. Before that, I just played, radio and was given them at Christmas and things.
And you call yourself a DJ?
Yeah.
Well, I do, because
I always knew there was something about him. I always knew that he wasn't quite what he tried to
no,
be.
No, he's very unprofessional, I don't know. Just comes on, pretends to be something and...
Oh, thinks Mr. Mark Seddon. DJ Mark Seddon. And our measly producers, me didn't even buy records since I was 16.
I was too busy, playing with my Transformers and things.
Transformers, robots in the sky.
Yes.
All of them.
Yeah.
And did you have He-Man?
Yeah, I had He-Man.
Did you have Skeletor?
He-Man was brilliant. With Tricelops, whatever his name was. He was a Cyclops, but he could turn his head around. He had three different eye settings.
Enough said.
And Ram Man.
And they always had the girl one. All the girls wanted to be She-Ra.
Yeah.
She-Ra. And we used to play games. He-Man and She-Ra. And then it was like doctors and nurses. And now, what do they play now? Poe and Lala. What is it now? What are they into nowadays? Those ugly things that talk.
Rosie and Jim.
No, those horrible.
Oh no, they're coming on
those
later.
Those horrible fuzzy toys with big beady eyes. That
not Furbies.
They are very horrible.
Furbies though, American government had a problem with Furbies at one point in the holidays. Didn't hear about that.
Did they?
Yes, they certainly did. Apparently, they had banned them from being brought into the secret, secret to most people. Locations like the FBI and stuff wouldn't allow them in their meetings and stuff.
Really?
Because they have a recording facility on them.
Oh.
But apparently you play back anything you say to them and all you hear is and that's all you hear. As if somehow...
I'm going to translate that.
I am the commissioner of the FBI and I've decided that Furbies are communist spies. See them? They're talking communist. What would an FBI agent be doing taking a Furby into a meeting anyway?
Exactly.
You've got to question who's running that country there.
Oh, no.
If they were going to do that and they had to make a rule.
The US is ruled by Furbies.
It's ridiculous. What's going on there?
Don't know.
Yeah, anyway, what have we heard so far this hour?
We've so just listened to... first we heard Catatoni with I Am The Mob.
Yay!
Then we heard Propellerheads with Crash.
Bang! What a...
And then we heard Roxy Music's Virginia Plain.
Oh, is that the one that's starring a magnificent Playboy type Brian Ferry?
Yes.
Yeah, with who else did he was it?
Brian Eno, who produced for U2, and Phil Manzanera.
Brian Ferry, though, hey?
Did you say magnificent Playboy type?
Yeah.
Brian Ferry was.
Oh, what a thought!
What do you mean?
Brian Ferry!
That's what he was. He was a magnificent...
He's an old man.
Well, he wasn't at the time.
He's always been old. He was never young. He was born. The
he was
age
born
years
old.
With that big hair and those leather trousers. Oh, dearie me.
Brian Ferry.
Brian Ferry. Hey, Ferry. Hey,
look,
Ferry.
Don't get started on that Ferry thing again, Mark.
What are you going on about?
Look, I was humouring you up to this point, but I swear...
What?
I swear if you play that ferry boat cart just one more time...
What, ferry boat, you say?
Mark... I'm warning you.
I bet you always wondered what a ferry boat was.
No, it didn't, Mark. I opened a six-pack of whoop-ass on you.
Well...
...that provide transport over short distances, such as over the English Channel between Dover and Calais. Ferry boats are generally diesel-powered and usually have one or more decks for vehicles as well as upper decks for passengers.
Right, you. That's just enough.
What do they do?
Ferry boat cart business. Stop that. Or you're for it, okay?
I'm for what?
That's some of
I'm
this.
I'm for ferries. More ferries. Ferries for everyone. Marie has set
up home. These headphones are messing up my hair.
Oh, dear.
a bad thing.
You've been experimenting with your hair this week. Every day I've been noticing
it's different. Mark, what it was, basically, I stopped washing my hair because I was getting up too early in the morning to come down here.
Lost all personal standards
of hygiene, so the greasier it got, the worse it looked.
Nice
bit of grease, but I've washed it now. Can you see?
Ooh, it shines inside.
Shines vaguely under spotlight.
I didn't think that little parting thing you had going on wasn't too bad. I thought it was quite good.
You know why she's washed it today, though?
Why is that?
Because she's worth it. That's why.
She's worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Careful, science bit. Washing hair makes it clean.
Because I'm worth clean hair.
I was thinking of some titles for a show that Kirsty could do, and the best I could come up with before on the show was Kirsty in the Way, which frankly is rubbish.
Dire, absolute dire.
Yeah. But the best I could come up with last night was Kirsty That Girl. Kirsty That Girl. Kirsty That Girl. Still not very good, admittedly.
I'm not so keen on them, but.
Yeah. Should we ask people to phone in if they can think of a good title for a show that Kirsty could do?
But there's no point because no one will actually phone in.
They might.
They will.
They might.
They so will.
They so will.
But don't phone in at the moment because we're going to do a quiz.
We certainly are. What's the quiz, Mark?
It's called TV Trivia Triathlon, and it involves me playing a trigger record, which you have to guess. I mean, not guess, you have to know, really. Because there is a lot of TV programmes. You just guess. It could be anything, really.
It's a bit obvious as well. If you don't get this one, then just don't bother ringing in. Don't bother breathing today, perhaps. I don't know.
Next time you cross the road, don't look. just kidding, kids. Always look. Green cross code. Right on.
Look right, look left, and then look right again.
And then run like hell.
But only when there's no cars.
That's what I mean.
If you look and there is cars coming,
always go to
cross.
A lollipop lady. God, what a joke.
Only cross the road when the green man's flashing. I don't know, when he's not flashing, sorry. When he's, just there.
And afterwards, report him to the police. No one should be flashing at you when you're walking down the street. It's not on at all. Right, TV Trivia Triathlon, then.
Yes.
Trigger track, phone in, tell me what it is. Then you're getting bored. I ask you three questions, and you have to get two of the three to win a pizza from Snappy Tomato.
Phone in now on 263-568.
Yes, that's 263-568.
And tell us what this is. I'll just play a whippet of it.
Just a snippet?
Yeah, that's what it said.
I like whippets. That's very nice.
That's enough of that. Okay, so have we got a caller through?
I do believe we do.
Do you think I can transfer her through to the desk?
Hell yeah.
All right, I'm doing that now. Oh, and now she's live in the desk. Hopefully she can hear us. And if Kirsty comes through to this room, we will start the quiz. Kirsty, do we have a caller?
Yes, we have a caller.
What's this person's name?
This person is some girl called Lisa.
Right, hello Lisa, are you there? Hello.
I'm here.
Marvellous.
Where do you live, Lisa?
I live in Haldon in Berks.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Right, oh, that's my music. Right, okay. I've got to wait for that bit before the questions.
Come on, Mark, get it together.
I've got to build up all of this kind of stuff, you know. It's all very technical, you know. Lisa, do you want to tell us a little about yourself, so we sympathise with you, so we've got some sort of rapport going on and we wanted to root for you?
Yeah.
Right, okay, well, I'm in the first year, so naturally I went to Warehouse last night.
Oh.
And consequently, I'm feeling a bit rough this morning, so be gentle with me, won't you?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure it wasn't just Warehouse?
Shh. No, we...
I'm sure. Well, as far as I can remember.
An outstanding club, as are all, in the Exeter region. what subject are you studying, Lisa?
I'm studying geography.
Marvellous.
Allegedly.
Are you getting along with that?
Yeah, I suppose. Yes, I do it occasionally now.
What's the best bit of geography? Is it working out how to use A to Z, or is it collecting rocks?
Collecting rocks I've always found fascinating myself, actually.
Yeah, that's... And do you look at rivers as well?
At what?
Rivers.
Rivers? Occasionally, yes. Yes, that comes into issue.
On special days.
Yes. You certainly do know what you're talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
I know all about geography. Rivers, you know, fell walking,
yeah.
Ordnance survey maps,
polling, all of it.
Thing or two.
And then there's the moon.
The moon?
Yeah. You study that in geography?
We touch on it.
All right, anyway. Okay, I've rambled enough.
Yes.
Time for the quiz. Do you know how it works?
No.
I ask you three questions.
Yeah.
On TV trivia, and you got to get two out of the three to win a pizza from Snappy Tomato worth about 12-ish quid, I think.
Alright, okay. Well, I thought I just had to name the snippet.
No,
well, I'm trying to get my brain
in gear. You're making it too hard for her now.
It can't make it too easy. I want to extend this, don't I?
You're dragging out the pain, boy.
Okay,
before we do this, you've got to bear in mind that because I'm in halls, I haven't got a telly. I haven't watched telly for ages, so I'll probably get this horribly wrong and make an idiot myself.
You might miss out on the
first. She's scared now. Might be nice to her.
They're quite easy. I reckon she'll
be
able to get
gentle.
Them. Okay, here goes.
Okay.
Right. Sarah Michelle Gellar is the star of which new TV series? You're not allowed to say, Kirsty.
She's not going to know.
Do you know that one?
New TV series?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've got quite high stakes on here. It's quite a biting question.
Biting question.
You're a vamp. You should know about these kind of things. Okay, we'll return to that question at the end if you don't get it, okay?
Right.
Question number two. Optimus Prime and Megatron are characters from which cartoon series?
I don't know.
She's a girl. She's not going to know. That was for boys. Can I do another one? I'll make up a question.
Hum the tune.
No, I'll make up another question that a girl is going to understand, right?
Okay.
In what cartoon series, when you were little, Lisa, did Tenderheart Bear and and Professor Cunning Cold Clever Cold Heart star in?
Tenderheart
Bear.
I don't know if I care for your question, Kirsty.
It wasn't Bagpuss.
About bears.
I didn't watch that though.
You didn't watch the Care Bears? No. The Cloud
Cast. That was bad childhood.
She's got to get the last question right.
You've got to get this question right.
Yeah,
if you don't know this, right, you might not have a telly, but if you don't know this, you really are quite thick.
Oh, yeah.
In the Australian soap, Neighbours, who is Madge married to?
Harold Bishop!
Yay!
I'm a winner! Woo! Yay!
So you got...
I do love pizza a lot.
How do you feel, Lisa?
I still feel rough, but elated.
Elated, so how does she go about getting this tasty pizza?
Well, she can order it from Snappy Tomato Pizza, who can be found just down the road in Exeter Town Centre. And I don't know if I'm allowed to give out their number because it might be, you know, promotion.
Like, cause too many people to phone them and then they'd just be like...
There is legal bits about sort of promoting things overly.
Anyway, I'm sure she can find it herself. She's probably not a silly girl.
If you hold on the line, we'll
let you know how to get
that. Thank you very much indeed.
Right, anyway... Okay, two out of three questions. It was like pulling teeth, but Optimus Prime and Megatron are characters from Transformers.
Okay.
I've been told I can give out the number. Snappy Tomato Pizza is on 422-422. That is Exeter 422-422. And Sarah Michelle Gellar is the star of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was getting a few hints there. Did you pick up on that, Chris?
Yes.
Right, thank you very much for joining us,
Lisa. Hang up because we have to tell you phone numbers and things.
All right,
okay, thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye. That kind of thing. So
I can't wait. It's going to be fab.
Yes, next week we'll be talking to Marilyn Monroe.
Are we really?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, be good.
Oh, my God, I thought she was dead.
She is a bit. It's a pre-recorded interview, you see.
Oh, right.
You're listening to University Radio Exeter
100.6 FM. Ooh, you wearing your scarf?
No, you're not. You're quite obviously not.
Hello, I'm Mark Seddon.
I'm Kirsty Edriscoll.
And I'm finally Chris Patterson.
You're late, boy, you're late.
Yes, it's the parking, my friend, the parking.
It's the snow as well.
Yes.
He was just frolicking around, throwing snowballs at random people walking past him.
I just couldn't help myself. I had to make a snowman and everything.
In the shape of Mark Seddon.
Yes, with coal for eyes and a carrot for a nose.
What's so funny about that? Or is it just a comment on my nose? It looks like a carrot. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
is that your insinuation?
If not a carrot, then certain other root vegetable might be used to substitute your nose on your face.
Uh-huh. You can't help but frolic, can you, Chris? You can't help but frolic.
I'm just a frolicker.
That's what they say, anyway. Oh, have we introduced ourselves properly yet?
Yes, we have.
Okay, great.
We can take in if you want, Mark.
No, it's all right. I don't mind.
Just in case someone's just tuned on now.
Now? Okay, because if you have just tuned on now, then...
Now?
I'm not Chris Patterson.
I'm blatantly not Mark Seddon.
Oh, gosh, Jedra. You're all mad.
Okay, so what have we got coming up? I'll look at my bit of paper.
Shut up.
Who says shut up?
No, it's me, it's stuff.
Oh, stuff! Yes. Mark's birthdays, the TV trivia triathlons, phone in to win. We'll tell you when to phone in. Don't phone in yet, because that would be just silly.
Oh, you dumb dog.
Oh, what are you like, you guys? Oh,
you guys.
Okay, we've got the Mark appeal. Chris will bring you the charity case.
We've got Kirsty's Eskimo Kissing Corner.
We've got Kirsty.
Hey!
What? Yes? And that's for Kirsty. Okay, we've got the Simpsons Sing Along, the Love Cafe, Kirsty's Hey Cafe, Beatles Beer, and Zoo Watch. And I've decided, chaps, that the interview. The Won't Cook, Won't Cook wasn't funny.
No, I decided that too, but I didn't say anything.
It just didn't work. for some reason.
I think it's more of a visual thing, Mark.
I think it is visual a bit.
And people can't see us.
No, that's a very true
fact.
Which
is probably just as well, actually.
Well, I don't know. A bit. I'll just, sulk.
Point into a corner and cry.
So replacing Won't Cook is something that I think is a bit funnier. Interview from the vaults, because I'm going through the URE archives and been finding old interviews with distant, long gone celebrities.
Ooh.
And so we'll be playing those to you later on.
Celebrities of stage, screen, and other media.
Stage, screen, and other media.
Ooh. Have you got Robbie Williams?
No. We've got quite enough of him. He'll be presenting his show. 7 till 9 tonight.
7.
Yes. Rah indeed.
Yeah.
Rah. Anyway, is that quite enough of a preamble?
I think I've preambled so much, I'm actually going to preamble off out of the studio and go home.
Okay, dokie. Radio. It's 12 o'clock. Coming up next will be Stuart and Neve. Not everyone knows this, but actually some members of Pulp came to Exeter University.
Really?
Yeah, and they wrote a little song about it as their experiences as student people.
Really?
No, I made it up, but I wrote a song in about it anyway. Do you want to hear it?
Go on, then.
She came from Starship, she had a thirst for lager. She had just started at Exeter College.
University, surely?
I know, but Exeter College sounds a bit better in the context of the song.
Oh, right, okay then.
That's where I caught a beer. She told me that she wants to get loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a vodka and cola. She said, lime. And then in 30 seconds' time, she said, I wanna drink like student people. I wanna drink whatever student people drink. Wanna spew with student people. I wanna spew with student people like you. had to start drinking somewhere. So I started with beer. I said, pretend you're at the Lemmy. But she just laughed and spilled her snakey. I said, yeah. I can't see anything else with black down there from. Are you sourced? You wanna drink with student people? You wanna drink wherever student people drink? Wanna spew with student people? Wanna spew on student people like me? But she didn't pass out. She just smiled and nicked my pint. Rent a room in summer halls. Drink your beer and get up late. Smoke your joints and play the fool. Forget everything you learned to school. But still you'll get involved in fights. Cause when you're on the piss all night, hearing your neighbour through the wall, if you're pissed enough you'll blot it all out. You always live like student people. You always do whatever student people do. Sometimes fail your final exams. Always watch your friends slide under the table. And you'll dance and drink and spew. Cause there's nothing else to do.
Presents some of the more astute of you may have noticed animals disappearing from zoos, trees being cut down, and possibly even big wooden structures being built on the common.
Hello, children.
I've had a flood of letters asking what's going on, so with me now is someone who might be able to shed some light on the subject. Noah Zark.
Hiya, Mark.
So, Noah, any idea on who's causing all of this disturbance?
That'd be me.
Oh.
Yeah, afraid so. The thing is, I've been charged with God, charged by God with building a giant boat.
God?
Yeah.
Boat?
Yeah. You see, I think I'll go down in history. Everyone will tell the story of Noah's giant boat.
Right. Now, obviously, I'd like to go into some depth on this subject.
Fine.
Firstly, why exactly is it you're building this boat?
Well, God.
God.
Like I say, God tells me, Noah, old mate, I've decided that humanity is rotten to the core, so do me a favour and build a giant boat while I wipe out humanity with a flood. But not in that voice, obviously.
Uh-oh, I'm getting a sinking feeling.
You will be.
Right, so what a way to go. So God said that he'd wipe out all of humanity, did he? Hardly very loving.
You've got to remember, Mark, that this is something BC, Old Testament stuff. Our belief system centres around a wrathful, unforgiving God.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
And also...
What? What's that?
Well, actually, he's not going to wipe out all humanity.
No.
He's letting me live.
Just you?
And my family. And my friends.
Right. So every other person on the face of the earth are sinners destined for destruction except you, your family, and your friends.
It does seem rather a coincidence when you put it like that.
So, everything else killed by the flood, eh?
Not actually everything.
No?
We've actually got to collect two of every animal alive and put it on the boat.
Two of every animal? Like a male and female?
Male and female? Why's that?
Well, they're going to have to breed, and in the future, aren't they?
Breed? Oh, yeah! Pants. Hold on a second. Barry! We need two of every animal. A male and female. Yeah, put all the spare males back. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Collecting every animal must be hard. How long have you got?
Oh, God's not that hard a taskmaker. He gave me a week.
Still, every animal.
Well, don't let the big fella know, but I've left out a few animals, like the ugly and the smelly ones.
Well, aren't you worried he'll find out?
Nah, I mean, he can't be everywhere, can he?
Well, and of course you don't have to worry about the fish.
No?
Well, they can swim, can't they?
Oh, yeah, swim. Just a second. Barry! Barry, yeah, put the fish back. I know what I said about them, but put them back. All of them, yeah. Dodo's a fish. Sorry about that again.
So, you're almost ready to go then?
Pretty much treading water, as it were. Just waiting for the destruction of humanity. Well, the section of humanity without a big boat, anyway.
Are all of the provisions prepared?
Of course.
Plenty of fresh water?
What kind of idiot do you think I am? Why would I need water? There'll be plenty outside the boat. Can't trip me up so easily.
What about food?
Of course I've got food. I'd hardly forget food, would I?
Well, it must be hard finding all of the different foods for all of the animals, though.
Animals? Nah, haven't bothered to get food for them. I've never fed them before. Why should now be any different?
Well, I mean...
And anyway, some of their food is on the boat anyway. For instance, we've got wildebeest. And what eats wildebeest? Well, lions, of course.
Well, it looks like we've run out of time.
Raining already, is it?
No, I mean, we've got time for the... Time for the interview. We've run out.
Right. Sorry.
So, see you later. Noah Zark.
Cheers. Say, are you a good swimmer?
Not especially.
Shame.
This is University Radio Exeter on 100.6 FM.
Or tomorrow.
Translation, this is University Radio Exeter for RAG 99.
This is for Ruthie, baby! Because I love her.
I search myself. I want you to find me. I won't get myself.
number and I'm always laughing. I wanna make you mine. I close my eyes, I see you before me. Think I would die if you were to ignore me. If you could see just how much I adore you. I get down on my knees, I'd do anything for you. I don't want anybody else. When I think about you, I touch myself. Whoa, I don't want anybody else. Oh no, oh no, oh no. It's that cheesy bit. It's the cheesy bit coming up.
I read the news today, oh boy.
think about things, the weirder they seem. Take milk. Why do we drink cow milk? Who is the guy who first looked at a cow and said, I think I'll drink whatever comes out of these things when I squeeze them? Isn't that weird? Hello, I'm Mark Seddon.
You know, everyone says we should stop and smell the roses. Well, this morning I did. Big deal. They smell like a bunch of dumb flowers. It was the most mundane experience I've ever had. Who's got time for this nonsense? I'm a busy guy. I've got things to do. The last thing I need is to stand around with my nose in some silly plant. Hello, I'm Chris Patterson.
They say the secret of success is being in the right place at the right time. But since you never know when the right time is going to be, I figure the trick is just to find the right place and just hang around. Hi, I'm Kirsty O'Driscoll.
Welcome to Seddonism. Hello! So, Chris, coming up today, we have the TV Trivia Triathlon.
Yes.
We have Mark's birthdays.
Yes.
We have the charity case.
Check.
Presumably. Simpsons sing-along.
Check.
Love Cafe.
Check.
Beatles bit.
Check.
Zoo watch.
Check.
I finished my meal.
Check.
Oh, Wisdom Tooth phone in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kirsty, tell us about this.
My first wisdom tooth is coming through, and I'm very concerned that it's going to make all my teeth
just a little baby.
So if anyone who's ever had orthodontic braces has ever grown wisdom teeth, did it make your teeth go wonky?
Well, my wisdom teeth are coming one on each side of the mouth, on each layer, so four in all.
I'm so excited.
And my teeth haven't been muddled about, but I'm gonna have to have them take them out.
Ooh.
Which requires, you know,
surgery.
Do you remember, did your granddad ever, like, when your tooth was falling out, did he ever tie a little piece of string around it and push you in one direction and slam the door?
Oh, he didn't. My granddad didn't do that, no. I normally just wait till they fell out and just sort of, well, I'd help them along by sort of pushing them and twizzling them and, you know,
don't
eventually.
Don't try it at home, kids.
Just as they're coming to, the end of, you know, just about to come out, you sort of turn them around until they come out.
Oh, nice.
You must have done that.
No, never. I was a good kid.
How did you wait till your teeth fell out then?
Well, I just yanked them out.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Mine got kicked out. Mine were kicked out. Someone kicked a football in my mouth and all my teeth came out.
All of them
at the same time?
Well, most of them, yeah.
That isn't kind of the natural thing to happen,
right.
but
most things aren't, are they, these days?
You know, they're going to have to come out sooner or later. May as well be sooner. Who needs teeth anyway? They're overrated. Okie dokie. And Margabeel, Simpsons Sing Along, Love Cafe, Beatles Bit, Zoo Watch, all of that.
Eskimo Kissing Corner.
Eskimo Kissing Corner, of course, our favourite item.
And pause for thought.
That was it just there.
Yeah.
Right. Building.
And Mark is no longer under his influence.
Yes, I've returned to the good side.
Were you good at PE in school?
Not especially. Why?
I can imagine you weren't.
You cow!
Were you picked last every time?
Not every time. Look, Kirsty. What you saying here? Are you just,
I was
trying to insult me,
quite
blatantly.
I was terrible at PE, me.
I can imagine.
Ooh, can you?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Saucer and milk for you, young man.
You're the one that said, brought the subject up. Mark, I'm just looking at you. You don't look the sporty type. In fact, you look like, a lazy old, so-and-so. That's what you were implying.
No, not lazy, just...
Unfit?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well,
that girl from Longbrook Street still fancies you, doesn't she?
Oh, shut up. That's enough out of you, Miss Lip. You know, meh, meh, meh.
Rah, rah, rah.
I'm Kirsty O'Driscoll. And I'm Mark Seddon. Who the hell are you?
Yes. Tell us about last night.
Yes, Kirsty.
I did a pub crawl last night for RAG.
Yes.
And I have my certificate.
Yes,
where
did you put it?
I've got it right here.
Yes, see. Okie dokie.
And you know what, Mark?
Passing it over to Mark Seddon right now.
I wasn't even drunk.
It's got a handy little map on the back as well.
Yes.
There. That's nice. So we started off at the U.
No, but we didn't really. We started off in the boot because we had our formal.
Oh, right.
So you've been drinking before the pub crawl?
Well, I should go to the formal because formal's a foul. so.
So when you say we were there.
Well, everyone else went.
Everyone except you.
And I didn't.
Right.
Basically. Remember, kids, you heard it here first. Formals are foul.
Yes.
F is for formal, F is for foul.
Put them together.
And you've got.
A chicken.
Yes.
That's foul.
Let's just think about that for a second.
Slave auction Tuesday night was fab.
And?
Rag raised loads of money.
And what happened to you?
I was auctioned for 50 quid.
For you to do?
Streak through warehouse in my bra and knickers.
Last night?
Yes.
And?
You did this, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes. So if you were warehouse last night...
That was Kirsty.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
I had my wings on too. My fairy wings.
I thought we were talking about different wings.
I know, we don't go there, Mark. We just don't go there. Shit. You're so nasty. Get out.
Enough already.
Oh, you're so sick.
Yeah, but what's funny about saying carrot and... bunny together, because bunnies eat carrots, it's what they do.
Let's just not go there.
Peter Rabbit.
Oh, Peter Rabbit!
Yeah.
I remember him.
And that.
And Jemima Puddle Pants or something.
Okay.
Mark, will you marry me?
Alright.
Okay, that's it, no more hate cafe, because now I'm loved up too.
Stuff.
What we got, Mark? What we got?
Oh, I feel like an appeal's coming on. Because it's now time for the Mark. The Mark Appeal. Mark is a young man of just 20 years of age.
Oh, God!
What?
Are you still flogging this dead horse? Mark!
What?
Well, it's not really funny, is it?
I think it is.
Well, anyway, it's obscene, asking for money for yourself.
Well, not really, it's just a joke.
What about your catchphrase? How much would you pay for a fully functioning body...
That works properly! No!
Think of the offence you could have caused.
I'm sorry, I didn't think it through.
Well, you should have thought it through.
But I didn't think it through.
Well, you should have thought it through.
But I didn't think it through.
Time for today's charity case.
Oh, shall I just transfer you, Chris?
If you would.
There you go.
Thanks!
This song makes me cry.
Today's charity case with me, Chris Patterson. Today's charity case is entitled, I Won't Let Them Carry Me Out of Here in a Box. Today's charity case is Gangland Killer Reggie Cray. He was staying fit, fighting fit in prison because he does not want to be carried out in a coffin. The 65-year-old ex-Thunderworld boss who last night launched a new campaign for freedom is haunted by the fate of his twin Ronnie, who died in Broadmoor 4 years ago. And he has told his wife Roberta, I won't let them take me out of here in a box. But not in that voice. Ex-boxer Reggie, whose freedom bid is backed by a host of showbiz stars, puts himself through grueling daily works out in the gym at Wayland Prison, Norfolk. He is convinced that training will help him keep his health so he can enjoy whatever freedom he is granted. Interestingly, the Crays were jailed for life over the murder of villain Jack the Hat McVitie in 1968 and ordered to serve a minimum of 30 years. Reggie's solicitor Trevor Lynn said, nobody wants to take the decision to free him. There is a conspiracy in action. But again, not in that voice. Reggie's punishing training sessions, including an hour of weightlifting, walloping a punch bag, and skipping. His adopted son, ex-jailbird Bradley Aldison, 30, said,
he doesn't want to prove he is still a hard man. He does it because he wants to walk out of prison.
Unfortunately, though, finally, not in that voice. the charity case there of Reggie Cray. A real unfinished business there, a real unfinished sympathy. But considering he's committed such massive attacks, who can say what his fate will be?
This show has been, you know, it's been great.
It's been great.
Oh, but loved it.
A little dirty too, I think. So, reminds me of this song that I wrote.
Ooh.
Such a pervy day.
Drink special brew in the park.
Then later when we get drunk, we go home.
Just a pervy day.
Snog animals in the lemmy.
Then later a kebab too, and then you.
Oh, it's such a perfect day. Glad I spent it in the park.
It's such a perfect day.
You just keep me banging on. You just keep me banging on. Just a perfect day. Ugly blokes all left at home.
'Cause all on our own.
It's such fun.
I've been Mark Seddon.
I've been Chris Patterson.
I've been Kirsty O'Driscoll.
And together we've combined like some giant transformer into forming. Zeddenism. Our memory will live on because I've graffitied it on the studio wall.
Yay!